is a special day. It's close to Aiden's 9th birthday, so that would be special enough in and of itself. But it's special because we are all in this congregation together. I love it when services combine and everybody gets to see friends maybe they haven't seen in a while. We have this amazing music. We have this amazing chance to celebrate communion at the table of grace together. And we really get together today to celebrate all that God is doing among us, to equip us, right, and to empower us to live into the fruit of the Spirit that we just heard about from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Today is a high and holy day, and I just want you to know again that I consider it such a deep honor to be here and to open God's word with you. So we're going to jump right in today, and I want to say again, this passage of scripture that we have before us today is a powerful one. If you are familiar with the Apostle Paul, and I know many of you are as you're good students of the Bible, if you're familiar with his letters to all of these different congregations throughout the Mediterranean world 2,000 years ago, then perhaps you are well aware that the Apostle Paul does not mince words, does he? If you're not aware of this aspect of Paul's personality, then I really believe that today's scripture gives you a good idea of just how sharp and yet encouraging Paul's words can be. Paul does not have a casual nor a complacent approach to a faithful life in Christ as he encourages and challenges the Galatian church. He's not afraid anytime, anywhere, to use some pretty intense language. And trust me when I say that I did not exactly look forward to reading such colorful words to you this morning, yet read them we must, right? As we disciples of Jesus are continually looking to grow and to be challenged and to be renewed in our faith, Paul, for all of his faults, is very passionate about calling people to live their lives fully committed to sharing the love of God with anyone, with everyone we can. And if any one of us gets a little bit lost or confused or maybe consumed with self-indulgence, as he says in verse 13, or if we are simply not living with the intention and walking purposefully in the Spirit of God each day, well, Paul is going to do everything he can to sort of grab our attention and shake us out of our casual and routine Christianity and remind us of the gracious, liberating, redemptive, and transformative power and love of the triune God. And so I don't know about you, but when I hear these words from the book of Galatians, I feel all caught up in that energy and in that passion as well. Last Sunday, I had this great honor of presiding over the baptism of a precious baby girl. You all have experienced this in this congregation many times. And when we do this, if you'll remember, in the United Methodist Church, we take these beautiful baptismal vows. They are transformative as well. We proclaim with joy, right? With joy, that Christ gives us the freedom and the power to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And so friends, you know, fresh off the heels of that kind of proclamation and that experience, I have found myself continually uplifted and inspired this past week at the opportunity that God gives us to live into that kind of freedom and power. I don't know about you, but in these days, I kind of need that reminder. And so this morning, I feel fired up. I feel ready, to embrace whatever Paul's going to throw at us in these words to the Galatians and whatever it is that God has for each and every single one of us gathered together today. We need to be reminded of the gracious gift, of the holy privilege an opportunity we have as disciples of Jesus to live as God has called us to live and to love as God has called us to love. Amen? Okay, the sermon's not over. We're just getting started. All right, so I want to invite you to engage in this energy and in this passion of Paul this morning as we ask God to help us hear Paul's message, not just to that Galatian church all those years ago, but also to us today. Because friends, we are living in days that are contentious, days that are distressing, days that are just difficult for so many people in our community and in our world. And in many ways, the same was true back then, right? The early church faced tremendously challenging circumstances. Yet in this scripture, Paul reminds us what God wants for us and for all in God's world. And it's written up here on the screen. Isn't that convenient? To be free, to be whole, and to walk in the Spirit. You know how I like to invite you all to participate with me in a sermon, so I'm going to invite you to say that with me this morning. Be free, be whole, walk in the Spirit. All right, I want you to think about that a minute. Take a deep breath, and let's say it one more time like you believe it. Be free, be whole, walk in the Spirit. I want you to hold that in your hearts during our time together today, and it is my sincere prayer that you will carry it with you in the days ahead, because these are hard days, friends. Let's say it one more time. Be free, be whole, walk in the Spirit. So let's talk about what it looks like to be free, right? Freedom is where Paul starts our scripture passage for today. And what we can learn from the full letter to the Galatian church is that false teachers have apparently influenced this community of faith, convincing some that in order to prove their faith in Christ, they should submit to circumcision and thereby return to the false idea that keeping the law was the most important thing that was required of them as disciples of Christ. Is that the most important thing? It's important, but is it the most? Now, when Paul learns that his dear friends in Galatia have been misguided, he is naturally upset and uses strong language, right, to convey that. He immediately writes to them, doesn't he? And he reminds them of the freedom to which they are called as believers in Christ. You see, in Paul's way of thinking, to return to a life that was utterly dependent upon keeping the law would be like a return to slavery. Extreme language. To a life that is contingent solely upon ourselves and the tasks or the good works that we do, like an effort to earn salvation as if salvation was only dependent upon us. And you know, part of me wants to shake my head at these Galatians and get all bent out of shape, just like Paul does, wondering how on earth could they be misled to think that any actions they took themselves would ever be enough to compare to God's grace and redemption through Christ. But there's always a but, right? If I am honest with myself, really doesn't take too long for me to think of all the times in my own life where I have been all too ready to lean on my own great wisdom or to do and say the right thing, you know, according to me, yet have failed time and time again to simply pause, to take a deep breath, and to pray, and to trust God at work in me. You know, instead of trusting only me at work in me. What are the times that maybe I've repeated the ideas of others that I know are not fully in line with the grace and the love of God? But gosh, they might be really self-satisfying. They might be really self-justifying at first glance. Only later do I see the pain that they could cause. Friends, what Paul helps us understand is that we all can recognize those moments when we trusted ourselves and our works more than we trusted God's grace and freedom, when we gave in to the pressures of others instead of resting in the peace of God, because typically the result does not produce the fruit of the Spirit, right? Typically, the result is harm, whether that's to ourselves because of our self-indulgence or to others because of our self-indulgence. Paul says, again, listen to this list in verse 20 specifically. He says, the works of the flesh or self-indulgence are enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. Yeesh. How does that make us feel? Just naming those out loud right now ought to step on our toes, friends. As a people so divided in our community and our nation, as a people so exposed right now to so much vitriol and so much hate in these days, what does it look like to be free? What does it look like to be whole? What does it look like to walk in the Spirit when we, like the Galatians, may be all too vulnerable to manipulative, oppressive, and contentious voices that do not sound like the voice of Christ? Right? Remember, Christ is the one who calls us and who calls all people to freedom. To love our neighbors, to fully trusting the grace of God to guide our hearts in each decision, each word we speak, each action we take, each moment, each day, every single day. We are called to what? To be free. Say it with me. Be whole and walk in the Spirit. We are called to this even and especially in times like these when the world needs to hear and to see and to feel the extravagant love of God. That baptism in which I participated just 1 week ago is this tangible, holy reminder that it is God's grace, and it is God's grace alone that claims us, that calls us, and is faithful to change us throughout our lives to be the true and free children of God we are created to be. In verse 6, Paul reminds the Galatian church and us that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Rather, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Faith working through love. Be free. Be whole. Walk in the Spirit. Friends, it is only by living out the love of God in Christ that we can truly be free and be whole, that we can truly learn to walk in the Spirit as we consider the wholeness of life that Paul is presenting to us and to the Galatian church. It seems that choosing to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh or selfish motivations is both as simple and yet as challenging as dedicating our whole selves, right, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our very bodies to the Holy Spirit, who is so very faithful. Y'all, the Spirit is faithful and active and vibrant within us. According to Paul, to choose to focus on ourselves, on our works, on our passions, on our self-satisfaction alone would be an utter rejection of the freedom we have in Christ, freedom to live as God always created us to live, as a people who are grateful, grateful for God's love and grace, a people who out of that gratitude would choose to love God, choose to love our neighbor, even those with whom we disagree, a people who are marked not by our anger or our fighting, our division, or our hate, but a people who are marked by the fruit of the Spirit, right? And I'm gonna name these now, and I want you to take a minute to think about the people in your own lives who are marked by these descriptors, by these aspects of the Spirit. Who do you know that when you're around them, all you experience are the following: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know for me, the first person that pops into my mind is my grandma, Emma, my mom's mom. I don't know if she feels that way about her mama, but I sure do. And she wasn't perfect, but she sure did resonate a lot of those things. It wasn't just one of them. It was all of them at different times. And that's who we're called to be. Friends, freedom in Christ is not freedom to do whatever we want, yet freedom in Christ does mean that we always have a choice. Praise God. We always have a choice. And today, church, we celebrate the opportunity to choose to walk in the Spirit, to choose to belong to the freedom and wholeness that God desires for us, but not just us, for every single person we might ever encounter in God's beloved world, everyone, y'all. And we will know that we are faithfully walking in the Spirit when we see within us and when we experience all around us the fruit, which is fancy Bible language for the evidence, right? The experience of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these days of distress and division, when so many are facing injustice, when so many are facing manipulation and oppression, friends, I am here to tell you that the world needs strong people of faith who will stand up and stand together and choose the fruit of the Spirit over the fruit of the self. The world needs a family choosing to baptize a baby and promise to God and to one another that they are going to do everything they possibly can to share the gifts of the Spirit and not self-service. The world needs a congregation just like this one, filled with people who have been members for a long time and people who may have walked in here for the very first time. Today, the body of Christ, who though they don't even know each other, will choose in just a moment to gather around this table of grace that we come to, right, so that we might be forgiven and restored and be made new in the love and the grace and the peace and the justice of God. The world needs a people who trust God to abundantly provide for them all that they need to be free, be whole, and to walk in the Spirit. Friends, we have been given such an amazing gift, right? To know and to belong to the eternal love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we never squander that gift by choosing to live our lives for ourselves. Rather, may we choose, say it with me, to be free, be whole, walk in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our God, this day we are indeed so grateful, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to name and to accept and to celebrate the freedom and the wholeness you desire, not only for us, but for all your children. As we look to you for guidance and grace to walk in the Spirit, our God, even in these moments, I pray you would bring to mind for us again all those dear ones in our lives who have lived fully for you and whose lives reflect the fruit of the Spirit. God, we pray that like them, we too might make choices each day that would bring more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control into your great, big, beautiful world. We thank you, our God, for entrusting and empowering us to do so. Amen.